by the time he recognized that he was close to the Institute. The currents had carried him a deal farther to the north than he'd suspected. The two dolphins had kept pace with him for the remainder of the afternoon, eventually being joined by a third creature. Ryan had no way of knowing whether it was the same one that had sped away south earlier. He saw a half a dozen figures walking toward him through the waist-high scrub, led by the stocky Chuck Cebulski, carrying what looked like a rebuilt Browning rifle. JB was second in line, and he waved a casual hand to Ryan as they drew closer.
I thought you'd gone mermaiding, friend.
I thought that myself. Everyone else make it back safe?
Yeah, the eruption actually helped blow us out of the triple red zone. Christy wanted to circle back, but Tomlin said there was no point. I have to admit, it looked that way to me. Still, it's good to see you again.
Mark Tomlin led the group that was waiting for them when they made their way through the gloaming to the group of buildings. The sun was a glowing ember on the horizon, casting its bloody light across everyone standing there.
My dear Ryan, this is such a wonderful triumph of the will, is it not?
I guess it is.
Ryan was touched at Dean's struggle not to betray any emotion and act like a man.
Hi, Dad. Thought you were going to be late for supper.
Have a good swim.
My father always swore that I'd likely end up in hot water. Nearly got it right today.
I have always insisted that you were born to be hanged, my dear fellow. Welcome home.
Thanks, Doc.
Mildred said nothing. Simply hugging him so hard, he felt his ribs creaking. Christy was last.
Bastard.
Her mouth was soft against his, her fingers gripping him by the back of the neck. As she pressed against him, Ryan could feel the tension trembling through her entire body.
I'm here now.
Sure. What would I have done if...
Sorry.
Ryan eased his way out of Tomlin's offer for a meal to celebrate his safe return, explaining, truthfully, that he was very tired from his ordeal and that he wanted only to go straight to bed and sleep the clock around, which wasn't true.
Dean?
Yeah, Dad?
Go take a walk outside, will you?
Why? What is there that you don't want me to know about?
Nah, not that, son, not at all. It's just that I don't want there to be any pairs of big ears hanging around outside the windows.
Oh, sure.
The boy's face brightened again. Watching him from across the room, Christy felt a small pang of emotion at how like Ryan the boy was.
No secrets from you, Dean, but I want to feel secure. Just sort of go outside and walk around for a couple of minutes.
The boy darted out, leaving behind him a silence that was broken by JB.
Something while you were away from us, Ryan?
Yeah. Wait until the kid's back, then I'll talk about it. Maybe nothing. I don't know.
It took less than 20 minutes to run quickly through what had happened to Ryan after being flung from the boat, concentrating on the wrecked vessel and the five corpses.
You say the ship was blown up by a mine or some kind of rocket?
Not necessarily. I'm saying that two explosions, external, had ripped her hull apart, and that someone had massacred the crew. The question is, who?
Tomlin? He's a good sort of guy, Dad. He looks after all the dolphins, doesn't he?
I wish I knew. He's been nothing but friendly to us. No sort of threats, but...
Mildred was sitting at the table, her chin in her hands.
We used to have a saying that there's no such thing as a free lunch. If there's something that doesn't set right here in the Institute, then the question you have to take on board is, where do we fit in? What does Tomlin want from us?
They talked for another hour or more, but ended up going around in circles, unable to reach any kind of clear conclusion. In the end, they all went off to their beds. Ryan found sleep difficult. When he checked his wristwatch, Ryan found that it was only a few minutes after 2 a.m. The slight movement was enough to bring Christy awake.
You all right, lover?
Sleeping badly.
Bad dreams?
Can't remember. Just that I keep finding myself walking along a dark corridor with no doors and no windows. I figure it's kind of a drowning dream.
Probably. Want me to give you a massage? Try and help you relax?
Ryan swung his legs over the side of the bed.
Might walk a while. That often helps.
Long as you don't get some crazed killer coming after you with a knife.
Sure. You fancy a walk?
Why not?
I'll get dressed.
Go barefoot?
There's glass and shit out around the buildings. Better get your boots on.
Wait for me.
Filtered moonlight angled through the smeared window of their bedroom. Ryan watched as Christy jumped from under the sheets, wincing as her feet touched the cold floor. She pulled on a shirt and a pair of navy pants, then tugged on the boots that she'd been wearing the first time Ryan Cotter saw her. They'd been through fire, ice, and water, but they still looked good. They were chiseled silver points on the toes, which turned the boots into lethal weapons. The dark blue leather was ornamented with silver spreadwing falcons. In the stacked heels, Christy was only an inch below Ryan, 6'2".
I'm ready.
They moved quickly off the concrete paths onto the soft, soundless sand. Ryan took the lead, walking away from the main buildings of the Institute toward the distant glitter of the ocean.
We looking for anything special, lover? Gaia, that's so good and fresh. Anywhere special?
No, anything special. If there's a secret here that we ought to know about, then it's linked to the sea, to the dolphins. That's what Tumlin is all about.
Christy took his arm as they picked their way carefully over a patch of rough ground, with some ancient foundations sticking up through the scrubby grass.
I've been thinking about it since we got here. I keep having a feeling that not everything's right, but I can't really explain it.
But it's bad.
Yeah.
They stopped in a patch of shadow at the side of the communal dining room, watching as a white-coated figure shimmered toward the laboratories, walking from the direction of the quay. The light wasn't good enough to make out who it was.
Why are we hiding, lover? We aren't doing anything wrong, are we?
Not yet.
They didn't see anyone else, and there were no lamps burning in the group of buildings near the dock area. Ryan walked past them, pausing on the edge of the quay, one foot resting on a huge, rusting iron ring that looked as though it dated back 200 or 300 years.
Maybe we ought to get ourselves a boat, or a ship. I don't know the difference between them. Boat's bigger, but when does it turn into a ship?
Christy joined Ryan, staring down into the dark, lapping water.
The same time that the magic princess's royal coach turns into a pumpkin?
Funny. I was thinking if we had a big enough boat, or ship, then we could all live on board. We could go where we wanted, when we wanted. It could be a good life.
Maybe. I was born on land, and I've lived on land. I like being by the sea, Ryan, but I'm not really all that sure about the idea of living on it.
We'd keep out of trouble.
Sure, like you did today.
The shadow of the quay spread over the black water 20 feet below them. Ryan thought he saw something break the surface for a moment, then disappear with scarcely a ripple. But it wasn't possible to be sure.
What's in here?
Christy shaded the glass with her hand, trying to peer slantwise into the building. It was rectangular, jutting out right to the end of one of the number of smaller docks. Ryan pressed his ear to the double door.
I can hear splashing. I think there's some sort of a tank inside. Must be the place where Tumlin does some of his secret experiments. He said that they did a lot of work with living creatures.
There's a lock on the door.
It was an old-fashioned brass padlock, its exterior stained with a layer of green verdigris. Ryan shook it, but it was enormously heavy.
You could break a window.
I don't want them knowing we've been doing some poking around. I reckon it's worth a try using... There.
He picked up a large stone the size of a house brick.
You can't smash the lock with that.
Not aiming to.
He drew the panga from its sheath and handed it to Christy.
Put the point there, just against the top of the lock. Mind your fingers.
No, you mind my fingers, Ryan.
Christy turned her head away as he hefted the stone and brought it down in a short, chopping blow against the hilt of the long-bladed cleaver.
You got skills I never knew about, Ryan.
One of the things the trader taught me. Ways of doing it right.
Christy gave him back the panga. Ryan checked the needled tip, making sure that the impact hadn't damaged it, then sheathed the weapon. He carefully lifted the lock out of the iron hasp and pushed at the door. It swung silently open, and they were inside. The heavy smell of the sea was overlaid with the odor of stale fish. The splashing sound that Ryan had heard from outside had utterly ceased.
Things are going on in here.
Bad?
Not good.
It took a little time for Ryan's eye to get used to the pitchy darkness. The only illumination came from a row of rectangular skylights set at angles in the sloping roof. There were two windows, both of them shuttered on the inside. Ryan's mind flicked for a moment to Jack Lauren, the young albino boy who'd ridden with them for so long, and who now ran a small holding in the southwest with his wife and child. Jack had poor vision in bright light, but in the gloom he had eyes like a hawk.
There's tanks. Look a bit like cages. Small.
Christy took a cautious couple of steps farther into the building.
Got things in them.
Now Ryan was beginning to perceive the interior. The roof was iron, with long girders spanning and supporting it. At its highest, it looked to be close to 20 feet. The length of the building was well over 100 feet, and its width about 40 feet. A number of fragile catwalks